How do you mean that? Well, I mean that there are the colors and the beauties, the designs, the beautiful way things appear. People themselves, dull people, but I thought dull, appear fascinating, interesting, mysterious, wonderful. But that's only the beginning.
Welcome to Strange People, Weird Worlds. Let's get this show started.
Nasty as shit apple cider, cinnamon, vinegar thing.
Oh, apple cider vinegar? Yeah, that shit's gross. Yeah.
You know, it's really good for you, though. You know, it's really great. One time, we were at work, and Steve was like, I should probably tell you why. Okay, so, first of all, I was at work, and I was like, bro, like, I feel like shit. I was like, I got heartburn like a motherfucker. And then Steve's like, oh, hey, man, just drink some apple cider. And I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. He's like, oh, yeah, just take a shot. And I was like, all right, cool. So he meant, like, the tiniest little bit of apple cider. I literally took, like, a fucking, like, 1 ounce ramekin.
And we're meaning apple cider vinegar.
Oh, apple cider vinegar, yeah. Like, a 1 ounce ramekin full of apple cider vinegar and just, like, chugged it. Like, it was insane.
Ooh.
And it hurt so bad. I tell you what, man.
Oh,
like,
man.
My innards were burning.
Did it hurt coming out, too?
Oh, yeah, it did.
Ouch. Yeah. Ouch. Ouch.
You're like, this mixture is like apples, like 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar, 2 tablespoons of freshly squeezed lemon juice. So I'm squeezing lemons out here every morning like a fucking asshole. Cayenne pepper, cinnamon, and raw honey. Now, there's a difference between raw honey and pure honey, and I don't know what it is, but I bought it. It was $2. The difference is $2.
$2. All right. Yeah. For sure. That's got to be good, so, then. That's got to be good.
Yeah, so.
Well, raw honey, it's more like, it's more like a paste, isn't it?
It's like, no, it looks the same. I mean, I bought it in public.
Like, you can squeeze it out of a bottle and shit?
Yeah, I squeeze it out of the bottle. It looks darker.
Is it more like crystalline? Like a little,
yeah, bit? Yeah, that's what I kind of picture.
Like,
yeah.
No, see, that's what I was thinking, too, because around here, like, we're all very pro-bees, and there's farmer's markets and shit, so I buy a lot of, like, not processed honey, all the time, and it doesn't look like that. It's just, like, the Publix version of raw honey.
I think but, you like, got that. Yeah. For all of you who don't know, Publix is a local grocery store in kind of the Southern America area, I think. Well, definitely in Florida. I don't know really how far out it spans. But it's actually...
It's, like, southeast.
Yeah, but it's a fantastic grocery store.
I've traveled. Like, I've been places, and I can truly say there is no better grocery store.
Yeah, you can get awesome sandwiches and sushi and just all kinds of stuff. Like, there was one by my Frisbee golf course.
Suck it.
Yeah. Yeah, King Supers doesn't compare, for sure.
I was just about to say how great King Supers was.
We do have some good King Supers out here. Like, they're making, like, the super King Supers, but it definitely is no Publix still. Pub. There's no pub sub at King
Supers.
There's
no sweet tea.
No sweet tea. Well, yeah.
What the fuck, man? Why Colorado, like, if there is one thing I wish you guys, us as a culture, would assimilate to is fucking sweet tea, man.
Oh, man. That's just diabetes in a cup, though.
Well, yeah, I know, but, like, sometimes I want some diabetes, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's true. I wish at least, like, restaurant culture would, because I'm tired of telling people no at work.
That's so true. You guys have sweet tea? Yeah. We have unsweet tea. I'll have a sweet tea.
And none of them find my joke funny. I'm always, like, too far north, and they're just like, yeah, fuck you. Anyways, hello everybody, and welcome to Strange People, Weird World, Minisode number 2. My name is Greg Tanner. With me, as always, is Josh Hart. And if you didn't recognize that beautiful voice already, we have our favorite Florida correspondent, Bad Luck Lane, with us.
Hello!
Yeah. We got another little minisode for you today, because as you're listening to this, you'll notice that it was just Memorial Day. So I'm just getting back in town. Steve's out of town. All that stuff's going on while you're listening to this right now.
I'm not out of town.
Josh didn't do anything. So
I'm getting tattoos.
I'm not out of town. I have no life. You guys can hang out with me.
And that's our two Instagram people, too.
Yeah,
so,
bam.
Disney Native at Instagram and Josh Hartco at Instagram. Follow them. They're wonderful. Josh has a story, I think, daily. Lane, you're posting constantly. I know that. Let's get this show started.
I actually have a hilarious story that I was wanting to talk about.
Okay.
So just so I can, like, you know, let you guys know how my Instagram stories go, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of a hurricane shot. But a hurricane shot is they mix this, like, beautiful-ass blue shot, and they splash water in your face and slap the fuck out of you. while you take the shot. And so I walked into this restaurant called Yum Yums in Fort Collins, and it was really great. My friend was telling me about it. He was like, yeah, man, like, if you spin this wheel and you land on a hurricane shot, you have to take this hurricane shot, and you get slapped. I was like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. Spun the wheel, won $5 tab. Like, I won a $5 tab. I was like, can I spend this $5 tab to get slapped in the face?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, yeah, sure. So I fucking did it, and I have a video on it, and I'll post it on the this mini episode for that week. Nice, so it's hilarious.
That's funny. When you say hurricane shot, you know, and having Lane with us, and I lived in Florida for a while, the first thing that comes to head to my head is like some sort of dumb like Facebook challenge of people posting like out in the middle of a hurricane.
Oh my god.
Like holding onto a pole, like, this is my hurricane shot.
I think like the most like intense things I've seen during hurricanes is like, well, I mean, as a kid, just like kids literally just like swimming in creeks during like Cat 5 hurricanes growing up during days off of school. But the thing rednecks like to do around here is to stand in the middle of the road with like the American flags in the wind and just yell like rebel yell as loud as they can get, and they love to get that on video.
Like Captain Dan on Forrest Gump, kind of just like riding into the wind, like, you can't take me. Is that all you got?
Lieutenant Dan. The more epic the shot they can get, the better. Like I have a friend, and he intentionally like wore his American flag shorts, his American flag wife beater like shirt, bought an American flag from Walmart in hopes of getting the shot of himself out in the rain during the hurricane.
That's about as hard as I go for 4th of July, but not for hurricanes.
Yeah. So a couple things before we start. I want to congratulate my little nephew, David. He's graduating. That's actually why I'm going out of town. I'm going to go see him. Also, shout out to my other three nephews, Dominic and Donovan and Dexter.
Your nephew's black?
No, visually.
All right. Okay.
But they are gangster as a motherfucker.
Congrats, nephew!
Yeah, but
congratulations.
They're four of the coolest little boys ever. Actually, Dominic's a weeb, so shout out to weebs.
Oh,
if you don't know what weebs is, Lane, would you like to take what weebs are?
A weeaboo is the long form of weeb, and a weeaboo is anybody who's not a Japanese boy who is obsessed with Japanese culture, anime, and it goes so far as to the people that wear the ears and the tails, and it can be as simple as my boyfriend who wears a shirt in Japanese that says, I eat ass, and he hopes that someone knows what it says one day.
Yeah. So 2 years ago for Christmas, I got Dominic, you know, whatever, I always get them whatever they want for Christmas. I find it easy just to ask them, and I'll buy them whatever they want, you know, because I'm the awesomest uncle ever. He wanted this sword replica from I forget which show, so I got him a 6-foot freaking foam rubber sword with holster and everything, and that kid was as happy as can be.
Wow.
But yeah, he's a weeb to the fullest, so I think I say it wrong all the time, but yeah, shout out to Naruto and Dominic.
Shout out to Naruto.
Anyways, yeah, shout out to my nephews. They're awesome. And also one more shout out to the city of Dallas, because you are our number two most listening city. And I don't know anybody in Dallas. I don't think Josh does, and I don't think Steve does.
Yo, so. Dallas, I know people in Dallas. What's up, Dallas? Y'all the first country I lived in when I came to America.
So, yeah, just shout out to anybody in Dallas, Texas listening. Thank you so much, you guys. Yeah,
what's up, Weston? Awesome. What's up, Preston? There's a lot of ins. Like, think Weston, Preston, Leston, Beston. I know a Weston and a Preston.
And then I do want to talk about my disappointment with Las Vegas, who used to be the number two city. Obviously, Denver's number one, but
Denver.
What up, Las Vegas? I do know people there. Come on. You know, I need to see you back.
Where does Orlando fall on that list so I know who to chide in my friend group?
Our friend Orlando? Oh, you mean the city of Orlando?
No, not our friend Orlando.
It's hard to tell because it breaks down into all your little, like, sub-cities, kind of. So there actually is no, like, Orlando. Like, it actually says, like, something, Alamante Springs and...
Yeah, Altamont Springs, yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. So you guys are up there, for sure.
Good. As long as my friends are listening.
You're no Dallas, though. You're no Dallas.
My friends in Dallas are better than the friends I have in my hometown.
Wow.
So I actually have a question then for the people in Dallas. I mean, like, how did you find our show? That is something I'm really intrigued by. Like, I definitely, like, love it 100%. Also, in, like, what's cool about Dallas, I've never been to Texas, so I would want to go there one day. So let us know, like, in the comments or something. You know?
Yeah, shout out to us, Dallas. We'll send you some stickers if you want. You know?
Hell yeah. First, three to comment on iTunes from Dallas. Say you're from Dallas, and we'll send you a sticker. How
yeah,
about that?
Yeah.
What if they lie? What if they're not from Dallas?
We'll still send you a sticker. Yeah. We'll still send you a sticker. All right, let's get this rolling. So today, first of all, we're sorry again, Canada. We are not going to make fun of you at all today. All right, we love you. And, you know, just a disclaimer about this show in general, you know, Strange People, Weird World, all this show is about is looking at this whole weird world we live in and laughing about it together, be it America, Canada, England, whoever we're talking about, we're going to laugh at it all together. I'm the first one that if you're making fun of me, I'll join in with you. I don't care. You know, so this is all just a good time, guys. You know, I love everybody. You know, I love everything. It's a beautiful, weird world. We're just going to share it and laugh about it together. And today we're focusing on Australia.
Oh, hell yeah.
Good eye, mate.
We were in the 30s last week talking about Robert Johnson, and now we're just going to jump over in the same decade to Australia, where they were having the Emu War.
I fucking love this so much.
That sounds like my dream.
Literally, Australia versus emus. If you don't know what an emu is, it is the second largest bird in the world, I think. Second to the ostrich.
It's a bit like a small ostrich then, mate, I'd say.
Yeah, second to the ostrich. So just a big flightless bird, runs around. You know, obviously we'll have pictures for you. But let's get this thing started. After World War I had ended, the Australian government had promised plots of land to soldiers who fought in exchange for promised plots of land to soldiers who fought. In exchange for growing wheat and raising sheep, I screwed that all up. Anyways, basically, they'd get plots of land, and they have to grow wheat, and they have to raise sheep in exchange for getting the free land and for having fought in the war. Australia, being a giant desert, only had so much good and fertile land to go around. So eventually, the government had to start moving veterans out into barely usable plots of land out and around Perth in Western Australia. Shout out Wheel Clamp Man, Perth, Australia.
Hey, Wheel Clamp Man.
This land would be tricky for an experienced farmer to get started, let alone a kid who just got out of the army and knows nothing about farming. To make matters worse, in 1929, the Great Depression hit, which sent the price of wheat plummeting to never-before-seen lows. And to try and stop the bleeding, the government promised wheat subsidies for the farmers who kept growing it. These aid packages would never show up. So, basically, to recap, you just fought the first ever world war. And if you survived, you were promised farmland in exchange for your services. Instead, you received barren desert plot. And you do your best until the Great Depression.
Oh, fuck.
Then the government promises you aid. No aid. Now you're a poor dirt farmer, barely scraping by with what little crops you're able to grow out in the middle of the desert. It can't get much worse, right?
Dude, this is one of those situations where, like, the government failed again.
Yeah, epically failed.
Epically failed.
You know, great intentions.
Isn't Australia itself, like, England's banished prisoners? Like, I have a feeling, like,
absolutely,
in the 30s weren't all together. Like, now they've got it together. They're, you know, they're doing fine. Okay.
Yeah, and you can see pictures of the soldiers and stuff, and they're just, again, they're just scrappy 19-year-olds who don't know anything.
Yeah.
You know, if you sent me out there at that age to try and raise a farm and all this, I wouldn't know what the hell I was doing.
Shit, if you sent me out there at the age of 19, you know what we talked about last week, I would have took over Australia.
Yeah, Lane, you haven't gotten a chance to listen to last week's episode, but Josh did sell his soul to the devil to, not for musical talent, but to actually be the world ruler.
Yep.
Everything went down in flames, so it was bad. Speaking of bad, so, you know, things aren't going great for these guys in Australia. And there's just one more thing. That nice piece of desert land that you call home, well, it used to be home to thousands and thousands of emus. And as it turns out, they love what you did with the place. It was pretty hard finding food in the desert, and you were kind enough to plant wheat all over the place for them. So At least over 20,000 emu came in and just devastated the crops, even breaking down fencing, just thrashing everything in their way.
Fucking assholes, bro.
Yeah, yeah, pretty shitty. Until this time, they were actually a protected species in Australia. But due to the... due to the recent events, the government reclassified them as a veritable nuisance. This allowed farmers / ex-soldiers to take arms against the emu.
Sounds like a dream come true, bro. Like,
honestly.
Like,
if this was Southern America, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you just have rednecks riding out hard.
Yeah.
There'd be, like, rednecks, like, capturing them, training their young babies to ride on the, on the emus to then hunt other emus. That's what would happen in the South.
Throw some, like, battle armor on them. You know, this is actually a really big dream of myself and my friend. We talked about, like, if you, like, augmented and, like, you know, kind of raised and trained panthers, they would be the most savage, like, attack beasts of all time. They're so stealthy, powerful, and just, like, fucking insane. Like, that they literally would just, like, destroy. Like, it's insane.
So, like, panthers with lasers on their heads?
No, actually, even better. Have you guys ever seen a jaglion?
Jaglion, no.
So, it's a jaguar and a lion hybrid. They're the most beautiful, savage-looking beasts I've ever seen in my life.
Jaguar-lion hybrid.
Yeah. I think that about my cat. I look at her now as she tears up my blinds, destroying my safety deposit. There's nothing more savage or beautiful in this world.
Oh, you don't have to tell me. I live in a fucking animal shelter, practically.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you have the prettiest cat. Oh, I still have pictures of your pretty cat.
Susie the fluffball?
Yeah, the fluffy one.
Yeah, the fluffy one. She runs the house. The pit bulls are scared of her.
Yeah, I scroll through my pictures and I think, oh, that was a nice cat.
Yeah, she's a little fluffball.
Yeah.
So,
and
but
the cat that works at the comic book store.
The cats. You
what?
The cat that works at the comic book store in Mile High.
Oh, I don't go there. I hate that place.
Well, they have a cat as an employee, so you should reevaluate.
She's talking about Mile High Comics. It's the biggest comic book warehouse in America, and I feel like it's overpriced. Like, I feel like I'm paying for their warehouse price. And then when you go in shopping for back issues, they don't price anything. They're like, we have online pricing. We would like it if you just looked at our online store for prices. No, I'm here in your fucking store. So I actually have my local comic book store. They're called I Want More Comics. Shout out to them. And today is actually New Comic Book Wednesday, so I will be heading there.
Oh, is it?
Right after we're recording to pick up my Moon Knight and my Star Wars and whatever else came out today that I want.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, good stuff, good stuff. So yeah, if you live in the Denver area, I Want More Comics. It's off Thornton Parkway in like Washington, so kind of north, but a really good store. They just opened a new big location. Shout out to them, they're awesome.
And today, New Comic Book Day, as in like the 21st, right?
Every Wednesday, new comic books come out.
Oh, shit.
So, like, I have a pull list at my comic book store. I've written down every title that I'm interested in, and they put it aside for me, and I just walk in and get it. So even if I didn't come today, all my comics would be waiting for me.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, they'll just be like, so, yeah, we have that, too. I have Acme Comic Book Store here in Longwood, Florida, and they're great. They're huge. And they do the same thing for me for all the runs that I collect, so.
All right, now to reel it back in. So by 1932... like I said, over 20,000 emu had moved into the Campion area of Western Australia. That's like a county area, I believe. The farmers asked for help, and in October of 1932, the government sent them Major G.P.W. Meredith of the 7th Heavy Battery of the Royal Australian Artillery.
Whew. Wow.
The major would come armed with two Lewis machine guns. We definitely got some pictures of those for you. They're just big-ass fucking machine guns, kind of like those big, round, long ones you maybe picture.
Typical, like, World War.
Yeah, World War One weaponry. They were given two of those guns and 10,000 rounds of ammo with a small contingent of troops. On their first attempt, they formed a tight squad, and they snuck up on a group of emus. Upon opening fire, the emus simply scattered and quickly learned the safe range they needed to be from the machine guns.
Really?
Yes.
Oi, they're learning! They're adapting, mate! Hurry, come round!
Yeah, yeah. With little to no casualties, the emu escaped the first attack.
the fuck?
A couple days later, the squad would find about 1,000 emus all packed into a particular area. The squad unloaded their weapons from point-blank range, killing about 10 to 12 emus before the guns jammed from the rain, leaving the emus with ample time and opportunity to safely escape.
Oh my god. This is just like, sounds like an exercise in futility, and all I keep thinking is like, do they teach this in Australian history books? Like, when I'm sitting like reading, like, you know, about the War of 1812, are they reading about the Great Emu War of the 1930s?
We can only hope so. But it's got to be like, you got to picture, like, do they... We have, like, one Australian listen, I think. Let us know.
Yeah.
You'd have to picture it, like, they'd probably spin it, though, in some sort of way to, like...
Make them savage beasts.
Make them sound slightly more competent, yeah.
Yeah.
That each emu is just wearing, like, a necklace with human teeth around it.
Yeah, like, they each had a German riding them, like...
Yeah.
So they would actually try one more time to strap a machine gun to a vehicle and then chase the emu, but they found that it was so unsteady they couldn't aim. You know, there was zero accuracy with it.
Even with, like, a machine gun?
Yeah, because it was, you know, a planted machine gun is already, you know, not that accurate and unstable, so now you're driving, and this is World War I technology.
Yeah, that's fair. I saw this video of these two guys, like, driving around in, like, a pickup truck or, like, a Jeep or something, and they were hunting feral hogs.
Yeah.
Bro, oh, actually, no, I think they had shotguns, so I think that's a little bit different. But,
yeah,
they, like, tore these feral hogs up, bro. Like,
well, my dad would take me hunting when we were younger, and I would drive his truck. You know, I'd be, like, 13 driving his truck, and he would just have a system where he would bang twice on the roof if he wanted me to stop, and then he would just aim and shoot. It was super illegal, but yeah, he would shoot deer that way.
Sounds badass.
Yeah, my dad's crazy. We're still gonna do the shit my dad said episode one day. Don't worry about that. So the mission of the major and his contingent to the mission being to kill thousands of emus was deemed a failure, and the troops were pulled from the area, thus leaving the emus victorious in the first battle in the Great Emu War.
Fuck.
That's just...
It's preposterous.
That is exactly the right word for it. It's preposterous. You nailed it.
Well, after regrouping, the major led the charge... Oh, kitty. Lane is flashing her...
Is that a tabby cat?
That was going to sound wrong, the way I was about to say
it. Flashing her cat.
Yeah, Lane's flashing her cat. The major would lead the charge one last time in an attempt to cut down the emu population. Even though this time they were able to kill more emus, the mission was still considered a failure, as it reportedly took no less than 10 bullets to bring down a single emu. Apparently they're pretty strong, too. Like, their hide is really strong.
Or they have stormtrooper aim.
Yeah. If Australia has stormtrooper aim, and emu are smarter than the Australian soldiers at the time.
Yeah.
And the government decided it wasn't worth it, and they pulled Major Meredith from the battle, leaving the emus with their second victory, forever cementing their place in history as the victors in the Great Emu War of 1932. The major was recorded saying this about the emus, quote, "If we had a military division with the bullet carrying capacity of these birds, it would face any army in the world. They could face machine guns with the invulnerability of tanks. They're like Zulus, whom even dum-dum bullets, which are the ones that expand upon opening, could not stop." So it sounds like he's trying to build an emu army now.
Yeah. Sounds like a great idea.
I'm not sure what he meant by bullet carrying capacity. I feel like he almost meant, like, they're able to, like, take their ability to take a bullet.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably what he meant.
Yeah, because the way he's saying it sounds like he's just going to load them up.
Like,
with ammo to carry around.
Just everything that you are saying about this, like, about you're, like, quoting this man, it sounds like it's like when Quentin Tarantino in Inglourious Basterds was doing an Australian accent. Like, that's what it sounds like. It's not Steve Irwin. It's Quentin Tarantino's Australian accent. and his band of Australians that was, like, selling, like, slaves to mining plantations. And that's what I'm hearing in my head. And none of them have teeth. And they're, like, it's all kind of in, like, a Red Dead situation, like Red Dead Redemption, like town, but the Australian version, and somehow these emus are armored because that's the only way the story makes sense to me.
So what I picture is the bad guys from Ace Ventura 2. You know the tall, lanky guy, and then the little guy. I picture like that's Major Meredith and like one of his cronies, and they're just kind of running around like crazy people. anyways, that's it. That is the story of the Great Emu War.
Wow, you know, that's not how I expected that to turn out.
Australia 0, emus 1.
Wow. You know, this is like, I have the same feeling right now after hearing this story as I felt when I watched Avengers Infinity War.
Oh, man.
I'm speechless.
speaking of superhero movies, Josh bailed on me for watching Deadpool today.
All right, guys, let's get something
straight here. Luckily, I have already seen it. I have already seen it, and it was amazing. No spoilers.
Greg, if I could teleport, you know.
Oh, yeah.
If you could teleport, we could go see it, because Greg went and saw it before we agreed to go see it, so Greg's the real asshole here.
I had girlfriend duties to do a bite.
That's understandable.
Yeah, I had
girlfriend duties. Yeah, I could have seen Deadpool a lot earlier than I did, but I had boyfriend duties, so I'm like, I'll wait.
Yeah.
I have no. Okay, don't worry. I have no significant other duties because I'm just a sad
free
man.
Bird.
Free bird, single, ready to mingle.
Yeah. We have one of those. Most of our friends, like around here, they're in couples, and we have one guy. He does all the cool stuff before we get to, because we all wait for each other like a bunch of fuddy duddies.
Yeah.
You know what? Fuck it. That's what I'm gonna start doing. I'm actually just start doing everything that everyone wants to do before they do, because I'm single and I can.
What? Yeah, I mean, you could have done it today, but you're not.
No, because you saw it before me, because you had girlfriend duties.
So that's the real reason. Now it's coming out. You gave me some other BS reason last night. Now it's coming out. Josh is just mad.
Well, I was a little sad, but also my boy Austin's in town. Shout out to Austin. Oh, I do know someone that lives in Texas. He doesn't live in Dallas, though.
Oh.
But he goes to school out there, and he's back in town. We have a whole squad of homies ready to ball. I've been training for this.
Nice.
So I'm ready.
You know, I would offer to join, but my asthma has been really bad, and, you know, I'm fat and white, and there's, you know, I'm actually really good at basketball rules. As long as you don't have to run, jump, or dribble, I can sink it from anywhere. I can go to the carnival, I can win you any stuffed animal that's at the basketball thing.
I'll keep that in mind, bro.
Oh, my God. I have a story for you.
All right.
About carnival stuffed animals.
All right, let's get one last story from Lane, and then we're going to wrap up this mini-sode.
Alright, this one is a kind of a personal insult to me, and I'll let you guys just know that I'm the dumb one in this story.
Yeah.
There is a carnival, I don't go to carnivals, because I live at Disney. There's no reason to pay money to go to something that's probably gonna get me killed or diseased when I can go to all the nice clean things for free. But one day, I was feeling whimmy, and driving past, like, Sanford, Florida, which is pretty yeehaw in general. And I saw the carnival lights, and I turned to my boyfriend. I'm like, wouldn't it be fucking funny if we went to a carnival? And he's like, yeah, let's just go. Let's get a funnel cake, shitty lemonade. Let's do it. So we went, and this was a carnival. Like, there was, like, freak show things, like, with not a real carnival barker outside of them, but, like, an electronic carnival barker being like, come one, come all, pay 25 cents to see the world's smallest woman enter the tent and be amazed. And it's, like, that, like, snake woman.
Yeah, I've seen her.
All those different things.
Yep, yeah.
So that's, like, the type of carnival it was. There's absolutely nobody there. It looked straight up haunted. But, nice. Like, for me, for taking pictures or posting things on Instagram, it's, like, a mecca. It's a haven. I'm like, oh, boomerangs. I'm going to get so many likes. So I'm, you know, running my own business. I'm doing all these things. And then I, like, turn to my boyfriend, and I'm like, I've never even, like, had a car. Like, no one's ever won me a stuffed animal. Like, a crane machine, nothing. I'm like, go ahead, like, try win me a stuffed animal. We'll see if you can do it. I was being an asshole. I'm the bad guy in this story. Just know this.
That's typical.
And he's like, okay. So he goes to the thing where you throw the balloons up, like the darts and the balloons and the pops, and you get the thing. And this one, the woman who's doing it, she's like mid to late 40s, carny, you know, straight up carny. and she gives the spiel of how much it costs to do per dart, first one's free, yada, yada, yada. She says it so fast, and, you know, Asher's just like, okay, whatever, hands are $5, and I get 5 darts. And then I keep throwing, I throw, I'm shitty at it, and she hands me, like, a little stuffed animal, and I'm like, how much darts or money does it cost to get this raccoon? And it is a stuffed raccoon, and it's, like, 2 feet high, and I like raccoons. Also, I'm an idiot. So I'm, like, really excited about getting this raccoon, and I basically say to her, I'm like, what amount of darts or money does it take to get this raccoon? And she says one thing, and it ends up not being true. Like, she can't just let me pay for the raccoon, you know? She has to make me throw darts for the raccoon.
Oh, yeah.
Well, $40 later,
damn. Oh my God.
I had a raccoon. $40 and maybe 2 or 3 popped balloons later. I just kept throwing darts, not hitting balloons.
What's
and
the
I,
size of this raccoon?
I will show you so you can get a good reference.
Well, just
to
tell
explain.
Us. Tell us. Well, no, nobody
I would
can
say
see.
He's 2 feet tall.
That's
and
okay.
1 foot wide.
Okay, so its head is as big as your head.
Yeah, he's a, I guess the kids would call him Kawaii.
Yeah.
And I'm never allowed to get rid of him because my boyfriend would leave me. Like, he paid too much money for it.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, that's understandable.
$40.
So $40 later, I have this raccoon, and this woman is so fucking proud of herself. You can tell that she just swindled 2 full-grown adults into paying $40 for a 20-cent raccoon.
Yeah.
And she starts, like, telling us about how long she's been in the carnival business for 20 years, and they travel, and they have a home base in Jupiter, Florida, and then she proceeds to plop her leg up on the counter where she places the darts and shows
like,
us the
like
tattoo.
Basic Instinct, like, style?
Yeah, just like this straight up, like, clap.
Whoa.
Like,
right.
Shows us her leg, her thigh, rolls up her, like, thing to expose where her, pulls down her sock. And there we see a tattoo that, had we seen the tattoo in the beginning, we wouldn't have tangoed with this woman and we would have played another fucking game. And it says, balloon bitch. This woman is so dedicated and committed to her craft of swindling via balloons and darts that she has a very old tattoo, faded, like, blown out. It's a 20-year-old, at least, tattoo that says, balloon bitch.
Now, what if, like, she started her career, like, smuggling heroin or something?
And balloons.
And that's what that tattoo actually means.
Then that would have been a way better story than me spending $40
that, that's
on
honestly,
her.
That's right where my head went. I was like, oh, she, like, smuggles heroin?
Oh, man. Because
the tattoo is even right next to the area where she would smuggle said heroin. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's
Of course, I guess if you're smuggling heroin, you wouldn't want to advertise then. Right, near said area.
Yeah, no, she was advertising that she had been in the balloon dart carny business for many a moons.
Okay.
As if to be like, you see, you got swindled for $40 because I've been doing this a long time. See my tattoo.
Yeah. Proof. She got you.
And that's
the story
of me being an idiot.
All right. Well, we are on the verge of this episode not being mini, so we're gonna tap out. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Always appreciated. Thank you so much to Bad Luck Lane for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And as always, guys, follow us at SP Weird World Instagram. Follow Josh at Josh Hartco. Follow Lane at Disney Native. Follow me at Greg's Weird World. And go ahead and subscribe, comment, do all that good stuff for our show. And thanks for listening, guys. Keep it weird.
Keep it weird.
Keep it weird. Bye.
Well, I never knew anything like that in the whole of my life.
Nice.